Well, welcome back to the One Thing podcast, where we all get to usher in the new age of humanity beyond Homo sapiens, which Lori and I call Homo spiritus, by practicing dancing with the one thing that individuals, communities, and countries have yet to try en masse. That one thing is the connection to the higher self part of our true self anatomy that people call by various different names. We call it the one thing for the purpose of this podcast, and our prime directive above all else is to make and constantly return to taut connection day in and day out and breath in and breath out as our first step in dealing with everything in our daily life, rather than viewing problems as things we can solve separately from taut. And in this episode, which is called Access and Radiate. Let me say that again. Access and Radiate Your Luminosity. We'll be illuminating ways to unlock the untapped brilliance within you that's been yearning for expression so you can shine your light more effectively, authentically, and fully without unnecessarily scaring people. So, Lori... Go ahead and start off with our framing.
We don't want to be scary, also, although sometimes that does happen. So I want to say that there's a whole level of healing available in Chinese medicine, and it's called alchemical healing. And basically what that means is taking, and David will say more about this shadow piece in a minute, but it's taking our blocks, our stuck places, our shadows, our heavinesses, the things we bump up against, the energy that is tangled in us that is no longer working anymore, and that's called lead in alchemy, and alchemizing it or transforming it into the gold, which is an outcome or a way of being or a pathway or a connection that actually is at a higher serving level. And the ancient philosophers within the Chinese medical path or the Taoist pathway, and honestly, all philosophy paths, spiritual paths, even religious paths talk about this just in their own way. So because I'm, imbued in Chinese medicine, I thought we would throw this part in, which is every particle of life is light. And so the philosophers talk about turning our light inside, because it's so easy to be distracted by all the happenings and the things that are going on in our life. And of course, we have to tend to those. But if we do that only, and we leave the part out about where we turn our light inside, and we do, we look into ourself, our soul, our heart, and we ask questions of our illumination, right? Of our, how do we shine light on something that isn't working? We always get those answers and those directions and those insights, but most people won't stick to a regular practice of going inside to illuminate their wisdom, their guidance, their soul's purpose. So we just wanted to start out by framing the reason we are having this episode with that.
Mm-hmm. And as you kind of alluded to briefly, I'm going to talk about another framing piece having to do with what is referred to as golden shadow. So shadow from Jungian psychology is the parts of us that we're not in good conscious connection with, basically, is the shortest way of defining shadow. And there are parts of us that we've hidden away or that we're out of conscious contact with because we judge those parts of us to be unacceptable or bad, or we have a negative spin on them. And that's leaden shadow, if we extend the alchemy metaphor from lead, transforming lead into gold. The golden shadow is the parts of our light, the parts of our brilliance, the parts of our giftedness, that and what we're calling in this episode luminosity, that we learned at some point while growing up was too much for the people around us. And so we learned how to, and I certainly learned how to tamp down my luminosity. I learned how to tamp down the amount of my gold that I expressed because I discovered, I didn't decide, I discovered that there were parts of that that were too much for other people, and I didn't know what to do about that. So what I learned at a young age was that parts of my luminosity scared people or confused people too, but mostly scared people. And so this episode in ending up the framing portion of this episode is about developing conscious relationship with or accessing our luminosity and embodying it, expressing it into the world in ways that don't unnecessarily scare people. And, if we scare people without meaning to, then that's a whole other thing. But it's really not about intending to scare people with our luminosity.
If we're truly aligned with our higher self and the light of our higher self is integrated into us, we would never purposely harm any part of life. So that's kind of one good thing to know. I had the same experience with my growing up life. I learned very early that I was too much and I had to tamp down my being and my light. And sometimes I think, well, that's part of the push pull of being on a planet of contrast. Does it always have to be that way? I don't know, but it is that way now. And the other thing I was going to say about it is that sometimes we do need to develop ourselves enough to be able to handle our own shadow in good ways that don't destroy us or, send us down paths of addiction or all the other ways that it could harm us, right? Or anybody else for that matter. But I wanted to read something, which is I'm in the middle of this learning of alchemical healing. And so from the viewpoint of Jungian archetypal psychology, the innate drive of the small self to become the fullest expression of the big self is equally recognized as the human being's most important task. And so a conscious return to a wholeness that we wordlessly remember, meaning we don't always have words, but it's there in every single heart. And that, that describes the illumination or the luminosity that we're having this conversation in order to, bring awareness to so that it can be consciously cultivated. So next, let's talk about a few keys to embracing and exposing or expressing your true radiance. We were talking earlier about should we use the word expose? Anyway, and we chose express, but I said expose anyway. So there are many ways. One of the primary ways is mindfulness and meditation because it helps us to bring our attention and our awareness internally. A lot of people will say, oh, I just can't quiet my mind, so that's not good for me. But there's other ways too. There's walking meditation. There's I've said it probably at least 1,000 times on this podcast. There's the invitation of light to flow into your system from above, from your higher self, in through the top of your head and filling your whole system. There's the focus of an orb of light in the center of our brain that we can actually pulsate and, kind of op expand and contract. When we see photos of ascended beings or saints who used to be human, they have that orb around their head, right? And what they did is they dedicated their life to walking their small self, their human self, closer and closer to their divine self or their light enlightened self, and they closed that gap to the degree that they had luminosity in their cells, radiating from their pores, basically. So that's one key. Do you want to say any more before I say the next ones?
No, keep going, and then I'll share some of my keys.
I think You know, the other work, and David might say this too, is that when something presents itself that's a trigger or a charge or a hard place or a block, something we can't move the energy around, and sometimes those, it doesn't, they haven't been around a long time, and other times it's been a long, long time, and we get weary of trying to figure out our way around them. One of the things I've personally learned is that if I don't turn my back to that energy, if I turn toward it and find where that feels like it's heavy in my body, and then I bring light to that part of my body, and or I journal, I ask it what it needs, and then I journal about that, and or I do a creative art process around that, then those are helpful tools to help move the energy so that I can just, all we need is just a little, you know, a little opening of insight, because then we can connect into it and invite more. And it's sort of this dance, if you will, this reciprocal exchange between setting up the sacred altar, or the conditions for insight to drop in. Our intention is very big, you know, part of that. And heartfelt, not a drive from our lower human mind to try to make something go away, but a heartfelt connection to the energy that isn't working in order to alchemize it into energy that will work, right? And we're doing this all our life. We're constantly doing this. You know, sometimes we're blocking the process, but we're going to be doing it for the rest of our time in these physical forms. So in my view, we might as well get good at it. So those are a few of the keys that I would offer.
Marvelous. And my keys have to do with adding on to what you were saying, honey, the imagery components that I have found are very, very important for me. And this goes all the way back. The origin of what I'm about to share goes all the way back to my childhood, when I had a regular series of recurring dreams for quite a period of time, where I, at these were sleeping dreams, not waking dreams. So at night, when I was asleep, I would see myself, I would dream about being in a tunnel, and the tunnel would go down deeper and deeper and deeper until it would kind of come to an end, and it would open up into this massive cavern of incredible jewels, just bedecked in jewels, full of all kinds of dazzling jewels. And over time, that dream changed to where I would go into the tunnel, and I would go down and down and down and wouldn't ever find that chamber, which was very upsetting to me as a child. And then years later, I found access to that chamber again and have brought the chamber more up to the surface. So that's the short version of my own personal experience as a backdrop for the imagery. So what I'm going to invite you to do in terms of a key, another key to embracing and expressing your true radiance, is to, first of all, and I'm just going to summarize this, I'm not going to give you time to do this during the podcast, so you might want to pause and then keep going if you need my guidance, but here's the overall picture of it. The first thing is to allow an image to form of the place inside you where your full luminosity has been stored, especially the parts of your luminosity that you needed to hide or diminish in order to survive whatever you needed to survive. So the first part is allowing that image to form in whatever way that happens for you, internal imagery, journaling, artwork, doesn't really matter the form, but allow that image to form. And once you allow that image to form of where your luminosity, the parts of your luminosity that you learned to tamp down, is stored, and what that looks like and feels like and what it's like for you to be with that. Then the second part is to allow another image to form in which you retrieve that hidden luminosity. So an image of retrieving that and bringing that fully into you, into your being, into your everydayness. And then the third part of the imagery is allowing an image to form of you fully expressing that entire luminosity into the world. And the imagery there is about it being expressed in ways that are beautifully received, are received in lovely ways, and that isn't necessarily shared with everyone because some people might be scared of it, but where we have this imagery of what it's like for us to be in full embodiment of that full luminosity.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's, I'm really glad you included the part about bringing it into our life, because when we touch into our luminosity, which every single human being has, bar none, it's in the core of our heart, you know, held until the time when we are devoted to connecting into it. But if we don't ask it to teach us and ask it to help us know how to integrate it into all the parts of our lives, our relationships, our work, our, you know, our self-care, our how we impact the world, all the parts of our life, right? Then it will wither just like a plant who goes unwatered. So it really is important to make a decision to have this sort of ongoing forevermore relationship with this part of you. And it will grow, it will evolve you, it will teach you, it will show you the way, you know, everything that you could possibly imagine that you would need from a teacher, you will get from this, from your own luminous self, right? And it might be valuable to consider that this, the uncultivated part of our luminous self, is a superpower waiting to be liberated. And we all have our own versions of superpower. We're not going to all come out to be the same beings. But I think a lot of the attempts right now in, you know, people talking about they want more to be more authentic, and they're reading books on authenticity and taking courses on authenticity. This is really the deep treasure of authenticity, because underneath becoming more authentic and more feeling like we're ourselves is this radiant luminosity, and the liberation of that is potent. It's medicine, it's a guide, it's healing. I mean, there's a lot there. So yeah, go for
beautiful.
It
beautiful. So we just touched on keys to embracing and expressing your true radiance, your radiant luminosity, as you've beautifully called that. And the second part of what we want to offer up is the part about, without triggering unnecessarily defensiveness or unnecessary, rather, defensiveness or fear in others. And I'll start by sharing a joke that's one of my favorite jokes. And if you know me and you've heard this before, forgive me. What's the difference between a schizophrenic and a mystic? Well, a mystic doesn't go telling their mystical experiences to just anyone. And there's, I think, real truth in that joke, because if I'm telling my mystical experiences to people who would be afraid, who would be frightened to hear those things, then I'm being indiscriminate. I'm actually not being fully loving. So there's discernment involved, and I'll double back to that in a moment. But first, what I want to add is that there's a form of luminosity that is universally expressible, and that is embodied embodying the energy of love, embodying it, just embodying it, not verbalizing it necessarily, not forcing it on anyone, just being in full luminosity. And when we are in full luminosity and certain people get scared by that, that's what I would consider to be unavoidable fear. Mm-hmm. We can't control that in people. We can certainly be responsible for being conscious and deliberate about how we express that luminosity in words, in offerings, beyond just embodying love. And the way I do that, now doubling back to what I mentioned a moment ago, is I live with three questions based on when I'm intending to be a luminous presence and wanting to offer something of value to someone. And I get a download, I get input that feels wiser than me. The first question I ask is, did I get that accurately? Versus, did I kind of distort that or filter that or interpret that through my own preconceptions? And when I get a green light from my higher presence, from the one thing, that I got the download accurately, the second question I ask is this for me to share with the person that I'm with? And again, it's not my ego that's answering that. I'm asking my higher presence. I'm asking the one thing for guidance about that. And sometimes I get that this is not for me to share. It's for me to know in order to love more effectively, but not necessarily for me to share, because sharing it might be too frightening. And then the third question, when I get the download, yes, this is something to share, not simply to know in order to be more helpful, but to share in order to be more helpful, I ask the one thing. I ask my higher presence. I ask spirit, source, whatever your word again is for the one thing. Is this for me to share now or at a future time? Because sometimes I will get a download that is not only for me, it is for the other person, but it's not for them right this moment. And so those are my three questions. Did I get it right? Is it for me to share? And if it's for me to share, is now the time for me to share it? And that's how I go about doing my best to embody and express my luminosity without triggering unnecessary defensiveness or fear in others. How about you, honey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that simply put, I'll riff off of what you said about embodying love, because I know that light carries love. So when I call forth that light / love, it's the yin yang principle, the masculine, feminine, alpha, the omega. We all have those parts, and we're bringing those parts into better and better and higher harmony, even as for many years, many centuries, that has been out of balance. You know, there's this line in the Bible that says, be still and know that I am God. So you can say, be still and know that I am love, or be still and know that I am present, be still and know that I'm one with nature, whatever way you want to say it. But the point is that we settle the tendency of the human mind to spin so that we can even have an opening for a download, like David was talking about. Or maybe all you can access at the time, depending on the circumstances, just being in that stillness or in that embodiment of love. And I think we've said this before, but maybe it's worth repeating, that we're not, when we talk about love, we're not talking about the romanticized version of love. We're talking about the greater archetype of love that pervades all of the universe and holds the universe together. It is the fabric of the universe. So we're tapping into that field, and we are one with that field, and we're calling it into ourselves, so that first and foremost, we have a stillness in that, an openness, an expansion if we can do that. That is capable, you know, we're capable of doing that with practice, and then an offering to a person or a situation if it's appropriate by guidance. So, you know, that's probably there's a other long list of things, but that's really the starting place, I think, for every human. Even ones who are further on the spiritual path sometimes forget this basic foundational piece. So,
Add really quickly that one of the words for that expanded version of love is agape. So it's not a new word necessarily for you to learn, but if you're familiar with the form of love that's been called agape, that's the form of love that we're talking about, wouldn't you say?
I would, yeah. I don't use that word, but I understand its meaning, and still,
I don't either. But yeah. It came in to me to just offer that up as a cross translation. Sure. And then, as you were sharing the quote from the Bible, "Be still," what I heard in the context of this podcast is, "Be still and know that I am taught."
Yes. Yeah. Same difference, right? Just different wording. I mean, it's funny. We have to find our right words. Those are like the keys that open the door that gets us past the gates of the mind. And if we have the wrong words, it's like having the wrong key or the wrong combination to get the lock open.
Exactly. And I want to underline that, because the right words or the wrong words are the ones for us. That's not a universal. Your right words aren't necessarily my right words, even though we're both trying to get access to and expression of the same thing.
Right, exactly. So I feel like, you know, are we good to go on to the takeaways?
Yeah, I'm good now.
I feel like, you know, this is a call of the soul that has been around since the beginning of time, you know, since human beings have been experiencing humanity on the planet. And there are times where we've done better than others. And maybe it's idealistic, but I like to think that even as we're moving through some hard stuff on the planet right now, this is still the call, right? The call to turn in, access your luminosity, and then radiate it on purpose, consciously, with your awareness, with a direction, with a directive from your mind. This is literally ancient wisdom in modern times, and all ancients who have done this successfully, you know, it's basically the same thing as what we're talking about, maybe different words. And just remembering that this idea of alchemizing what isn't, you know, what is in not in the light yet into the light, it includes a healing power of imagination, as David mentioned, with using it. It includes connecting into your creative life force. And this energy, this life force, this light that we are, insists on the dynamic field created through relationship. And it invites spirit into the experience of being human. And those are that's the dance that we're inviting, you know, that every human being really does want to be invited to.
Mm-hmm. And that wording I love, invite spirit into the experience of being human. So my...
Yes. I mean,
well, of course you agree. I was just saying what you said.
No, yeah. Well,
so.
Well, it's what the whole podcast is based on, is what I was going to say.
Oh, gotcha. True that. And so, my takeaway that I want to offer is basically another way of saying what Lori just said, which is the world needs all of us to stop holding back our inner radiance, including me. Including all of us, because the transcendence that humanity is moving into, with fits and starts and rebellion and terror and divisiveness and all of that stuff, despite all of it, the transcendence that humanity is evolving into can't happen without our radiance, without our luminosity. And
Yes.
So when people often ask me, what can I do? I mean, you know, the world needs so much help and so much healing. Well, yes. And if each of us is doing our unique appointed part, then all of the things that need healing or need freedom or need transcendence will be covered. None of us can do all of it, but what all of us can do to help that happen in every single moment with every single breath is to stop holding back our inner radiance.
Beautiful. Well said. Yes. It's there. It's there. You know, a lot of people doubt it, but not once you start getting in and creating this relationship with it, then it'll prove to you that it is there and it's worthy of all the attention you have to give it. So our next episode, as has become the case, is we're awaiting guidance to know what that is. And it usually comes as we pour our first glass of wine, unless you have, and talk about the episode, unless you have some ideas, thoughts, or wishes, then which we would invite you to go to tautpodcast.net and comment and ask and, you know, make recommendations, because we will gratefully receive them. And any requests you have for future topics that we would, you know, that you would like us to talk about, we'd be happy to. So until the next time, please remember to dance with your better half. The one thing, or whatever you call it, so you can keep living more and more fully as Homo Spiritus, as your illuminated, luminous Homo Spiritus self.